Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a brand new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court, or in today's case, the pool. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest, BYU swimmer, Jordan Tiffany. Jordan, thanks for taking a few minutes. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you.
How many hours do you spend in the pool a day, do you think?
So we're an hour in the mornings and 2 hours at night, so 3 hours.
What is a day in the life like for you right now?
Yeah, so on our busy days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's when we have doubles. It's lift for 45 minutes in the morning, going straight into the pool for an hour and 15 minutes. I just got into the HR program. So then I head over to the business school, study a little bit, go through my classes, and then head back to the pool 2 to 4, get another swim workout in, and then go into Legends, eating with the guys, and then go home, do some homework, and I'm in bed by 8:30 usually.
You brought up two things. One, I'm glad you brought up doing your homework. That's always very important. Kids, stay in school, get good grades. The other thing that you brought up was you go to Legends and eat.
Yeah.
I remember from my high school days of being a competitive swimmer how hungry I got. How much do you eat? Are you on a calorie counting type thing? Like you have to have a certain number of calories? Do you know how much you eat in a day?
Yeah, I mean, I don't count specifically because I'm pretty aware of my body and how much I need, but I'm burning close to 6,000 to 7,000 calories on those days, so it's hard to get that in. So I'm not counting, but I have a good idea of where I'm at, and it's a lot more than your typical person.
So for those that are not familiar with the events that you participate in, you freestyle, butterfly, and is there another one as well?
Yeah, backstroke.
Backstroke. Okay. First of all, for anybody that's ever tried the butterfly, it's unbelievably hard. What is your favorite of all of the swim strokes?
I love butterfly. I love sprinting. It's actually kind of funny because before this year, I was more of like a middle distance guy. Mm-hmm. So I'd always done the 200 butterfly, the 400 IM, which is 100 of each stroke, 100 yards of each stroke. And I was kind of that 200, 400 guy. And I guess we'll get into this in a little bit, but when I took my big break and I said, all right, it's time for me to come back, I said, I'm never doing that again. I'm either going to sprint or I'll never swim again. And I've totally revamped everything. I just do 50s and 100s of those strokes. Training's way different, but I love it.
Take me back to when you started swimming. Swimming is in your blood.
100%.
It is in your family.
Mm-hmm.
So tell everybody how you got into this and why it was such a big part of your family growing up.
Yeah, so I think I said this on Sports Nation, but my mom and dad both swam at BYU. My aunt swam at BYU. My grandpa and grandma were athletes at BYU, but they didn't swim. So when I was 4 years old, my mom taught me how to swim in one of the backyard pools in our neighborhood. And I think probably age 5, 6, I was doing the summer league team. And then at age 7, I started year round. So at age 7 or 8, I was waking up before school, doing my practices as a little 8-year-old, waking up at 5:30, 6 a.m., you know.
That's dedication.
100%, yeah. And then at about age 13, 14, I knew like I could do something special. And that's when it started to take off.
And beyond your parents being there for moral support, your mom was also your coach as well.
Yep.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I loved it. It has some setbacks, but I loved every minute of it. I'm grateful. You know, I miss it all the time. So she coached me. She taught me how to swim. And then she was my club coach at ages 8, 9, 10. And then I joined back with her when I was a freshman in high school because she was my high school coach. So I was with her those 4 years, and we won 4 state titles together. She's still the coach at Lone Peak. They've won 3 in a row with my sister. So they're doing awesome, but yeah.
Was that added pressure for you? Or did you sort of embrace that as part of, you know what, this just gives me extra motivation?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of both. So I think some of my other friends who have parents who know nothing about swimming, because it's not a huge sport. There's a lot of people on the team right now that their parents never swam. And so when they go to meets as a little kid, every time they swim, it's like, it's happy. Like, they don't know any different. And for me, it's like, I always knew what was expected of me. I knew what it took to swim at the D1 level since I was like a really young kid. And so ages 9, 10, 11, like when I start to be introduced to, okay, this is D1 swimming, this is what it takes, there's pressure right away. But I feel like my parents, especially my mom, did a great job balancing that by being my high school coach. She would know how to push me in the right ways. But she also knew, like, I had these big goals. I was hard on myself. I always wanted to succeed. And she did an awesome job of seeing that, recognizing that.
You said that even at as young as age 7, you were being introduced to what it took to swim and compete at the highest level. At what point did you realize that you had what it takes to swim at the next level, to be a collegiate swimmer, and who knows what else?
Yeah, I mean, I was always top in the state every year as a kid, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I always had like a general idea, you know, maybe some lower tier D1 schools I could swim at. But it was at about age 14, 15 when I started to take off, really age 15, 16, when I was like, I might be able to swim at a big time school, like top 5 school. And then the age 16 was like, I could swim anywhere I wanted at that point.
What was your proudest moment in high school? Do you have one that sticks out?
Yeah. There's so many. I was on so many different teams in high school, so many different coaches that were awesome. But probably my proudest moment was my senior year high school state. I had been to a lot bigger meets than that, like junior national meets since I was 15. But my senior year, I was out 2 months leading up to state. I got really sick, and I wasn't even planning on swimming at state my senior year, which is like, that's the biggest meet of the year. That's where, you know, I can break these records that will be set in stone for a while. That's where I can help my team win another state championship 4 in a row. And it was a week before state, and I didn't think I was going to swim. I ended up swimming, and I swam all right. Like, you know, I broke some state records, not as fast as I was capable of. But just seeing my mom crying on the deck, it almost makes me a little emotional, but just seeing my mom crying on the deck, being so proud of me, it was nothing about the times. It was just the fact that I overcame something. Like, the last 2 months had been really hard for me. And just being able to share that moment with my mom, my senior year, winning with her. We'd both been through a lot that year. There's swim drama, just like every sport. And that was like our final moment together. And in that moment right there, I really learned that, like, my relationship with my family, my coaches, my teammates will always take priority over my swimming. Like, I could win the Olympics, and that's never going to mean more to me than what I have with my mom, what I have with my coach, things like that.
How long had you had sinus issues? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, you missed your high school graduation. You were bedridden after like a 2.5-hour operation to clear your sinuses and to help you breathe. First of all, as a swimmer, I can't even imagine having to deal with that, knowing how important the breathing aspect of that is. Let's be honest, breathing is important for life, let alone swimming. But how long had you dealt with that?
Yeah, so I had my first surgery my senior year, and then I had another surgery right after Tennessee the following year. But that was part of the 2 months leading up to high school state. Like, having sinus issues also kind of combines with immune issues, because you'll get sick and it will just sit in there and you can't, like, it just gets stuck in your sinuses.
Well,
it's kind of gross.
And the pressure.
Yeah, you can't swim.
You can't swim. I don't know how you would even do that.
Yeah, and so those 2 months leading up to it was like I physically couldn't swim. And I'd been dealing with that since I was a little kid, but it got really worse my senior year. So I ended up getting that surgery thinking everything would be fine. And then I went to Tennessee and everything wasn't fine. So I got it again. And I'm sure I'll have to get another one in the next couple of years. It sounds like a wimpy surgery.
Yeah.
But anyone who's had it knows it's the real deal. It's tough.
So was there any concern on your part that may hinder you moving forward in terms of your opportunity to swim collegiately?
Yeah. I mean, it's something it worries me. I've already had two surgeries. I'm sure I'll get a third one. But I'm more aware of it and I know how to take care of it a little bit more. But
so you've mentioned Tennessee a couple of times. Mm-hmm. That's where you decided that you were going to go to school out of high school.
Yeah.
You were recruited by Alabama, NC State, Texas, and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Before we get to going to Tennessee, was BYU in the mix coming out of high school for you?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I would say 8th, 9th grade, I hadn't done anything big in swimming yet. Well, I'd done a lot, but on like a top 5 swim school level, I hadn't done much. Like, they wouldn't be looking at me. And so at that point, like 8th grade, I was like, okay, I'll be good enough to swim at BYU. That's an option. But I've always kind of been someone who likes to do stuff a little bit different. And both my parents went to BYU. My brother went to BYU. And I was like, I want to shoot for something different. Like, I've always been just the biggest swim fan. I've always loved watching Texas, Cal, like NC State, these teams win NCAA championships. And so I guess it kind of takes me back to my sophomore year. I told my parents, like, I want to do this thing. And if I'm going to do it, like, we got to switch some things up. And so I actually moved to Arizona the end of my sophomore year. I lived at my grandma's house. My parents kind of took turns watching me. They'd come down for a month, or my grandma would watch me for a month, or I'd live with a friend down there for a month. And I trained with Scottsdale Aquatic Club, one of the best teams in the nation. I mean, at this point, I was probably 300, 400 recruit in the nation. Mm-hmm. So still up there to swim at a lot of D1 schools, but these big programs like Texas, Cal, like, they wouldn't be looking at me much. But that's where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to a big-time school like Tennessee. And so I moved down to Arizona. Again, the fact that my parents were able to just pick up everything and say, all right, let's help you follow your dreams, that just shows how committed they were to me. And I went down there for about a year and a half, so during my junior year, and swam amazing. After like 8-10 months, I was a top 20 recruit in the nation. And specifically, I remember swimming at Junior Nationals my junior year. I just finished my first race, and that race alone put me as one of the top recruits in the nation. I think I was seated like 150th at that meet, and after that race, I was second in the whole.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and so I walked out, because they take our phones at the swim meet, the coaches do. So I walk out, pick up my phone, and I just start scrolling, and it just texts. It's like Indiana, Cal, Texas, Tennessee, Georgia, Bama. Like, I'm just
off of one race.
Yeah, because all the coaches are there.
Yeah.
So all the recruiting coordinators from the schools come to Junior Nationals to watch. And I almost cried in that moment. I was like, I made it. Like, I freaking did this. Like, this is what I've worked my butt off my whole life for. That memory is so vivid. Like, it was at the swim meet, it was at Texas, Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Walking out, just scrolling. I see my mom and dad. My mom was talking with, I can't remember what school she was talking with. My dad was talking with like Alabama or something. My coaches said, hey, Texas just texted me this. Cal just texted me this. And I can't believe it. Like, and from there, I finished the meet, same thing, swam all my races. I had like 5 races. They all went awesome. And at that point, I was like, I'm going to do something big. I want to go to one of these big time schools. And Utah swimming, I guess I was in Arizona at the time. Mm-hmm. I ended up moving back for my senior year to Utah. But in Utah, like, they maybe have a couple kids go D1 each year, and they're usually lower D1 schools. So I was like, I want to do something new. I want to go out there.
So why was it Tennessee then? Of all the schools, and you said they were all coming at you.
Yeah.
Why Tennessee?
Yeah, so Tennessee's funny because before I had that big swim meet, the only top 20 school in the nation to reach out to me was Tennessee. And the reason was the recruiting coordinator is a member of the church. So he knew
me. So they got in on the ground floor, right?
Yeah, so his name's Christian Hanselman. He's awesome. So he reached out to me before I got fast. And it was like more of a, I mean, I would like to say it's because of my talent, what I had done so far, but it was like, hey, I know you, like, we're interested, but not really, you know? And then after that swim meet, I had already talked to him for months leading up to that swim meet. And so I had formed a relationship with him. And so then after that swim meet, it's my junior year, so I'm picking my trips to go on. So I had all 5 scheduled out. They were all SEC schools plus NC State. And I went to North Carolina State on my first trip. It was good. Awesome coaches, awesome team out there. And then I went to Tennessee the next week, fell in love with those guys, love the culture out there, wanted to be in the SEC, and I just canceled my trips and committed right there.
Wow.
And that was, I was 16. It was my junior year, and then I was set. I was a Vol.
So in 2019, I believe, BYU football plays at Tennessee. You're there.
Yeah.
You're at the game.
Yeah.
Was that strange for you that BYU was there? I mean, this is the team that you grew up around. Your family is so entrenched at BYU, and now they're at your school playing football. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so that was my second recruiting trip at Tennessee. It was unofficial because you can only take one official at the time. I think it's unlimited now, right?
I think so.
I don't know for all the sports, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, but so it was my second trip. So I'd already been committed for like 6 months at this point, and I'm loud and proud Tennessee. I wear my orange everywhere. Like, everyone knows I'm going to Tennessee. And yeah, it was an interesting moment because these are my two teams going against each other, lifelong BYU football fan, season ticket holders, you know, been to every single game. But it's actually funny. On that trip, I was in the student section with Tennessee because that's where the recruits go. And the fans, the whole student section starts chanting F the Mormons. I feel like that's a classic for BYU. Yeah. There's been multiple teams.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
so they,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. They start chanting F the Mormons. And my host and the guys on the team know I'm a Mormon. And my host gave it to them. He said, this kid's a Mormon. He's coming to BYU. Like, what are you doing? Went off on them. Used some colorful language I'm not going to say here. And everyone around me, all those students apologized to me, said how sorry they were, and I didn't hear anything bad the rest of the game. And that was just another little funny thing, but that just shows like the respect of the culture out there and stuff. Like, and that was another reason I was like, okay, these guys will respect me. They'll take care of me.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll have more with Jordan Tiffany. When we come back, this is Deep Blue on BYU Radio. Welcome back to Deep Blue here on BYU Radio. Jason Shepherd with you. Happy to have my guest, Jordan Tiffany, BYU swimmer, joining me on our show today. And before the break, we were talking about you going to Tennessee. So you're at Tennessee. You're there. You're now part of the Vol swimming team. How does it go when you get there?
Yeah. So I guess just to explain a little bit leading up, it was COVID leading up. So I didn't swim much. And for the first time in my life, I was thinking, how all in am I on swimming? Like, I started to face some burnout. We talked about how I'd swam since I was year round since I was 7 or 8. So at this point, it'd been 10 years of waking up early every morning. But I went out there, it's a change of scenery. I'm in the SEC. I'm stoked. I know all my teammates, they're awesome guys, and I'm ready to go. So I get out there, start to get the hang of things, going to classes, well, I guess going on Zoom because they were all online.
Going into the other room for your classes, yes.
Practices start up. And honestly, from the very beginning, I was struggling a little bit. Burnout from swim was tough. And I'd always had some issues with depression in the past, but it was very clear out there that things weren't right, and I needed some help out there. And so from about October, I feel like I started struggling. And that early on, I was thinking, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. And it was almost a process from October till when I left in March of every single day thinking, maybe I'll walk in and tell the coaches I'm done tomorrow. Like, I don't know how I'm going to even make it till tomorrow. And that was really my experience in Tennessee, which is tough because, you know, that was my dream since I was a little kid. Like, I was like, I'm going to swim in the SEC. I'm going to swim at a top five school. You know, I committed 2 years prior to getting there, and I was so excited. You know, I was proud to be there. And so to get out there, and after the first couple of weeks, feel like I don't want to do this, like, which is crazy for me because I'm always the hard worker. I always figure things out, you know. I'm a dream chaser, as most of like high-level D1 athletes are. But yeah, from early on, I started thinking like, something's wrong with me. Like I tried so many different things, you know, I worked with the coaches, but things just weren't clicking.
So when you say you worked with the coaches, were they aware that you were in that place mentally? Were your parents aware? Did you keep this all inside? Which probably, if you did, it probably made the situation worse because you didn't feel like you could tell anybody about it.
Yeah, I kept a lot of it inside because I wasn't aware of, like, how do I go about help? You know, I never reached out for help at this point. And, you know, like, I'm a D1 swimmer. Like, I've accomplished a lot. I can handle this. And that's what I always think. Like, things are just going to change. And I didn't open up to coaches for a while, but they know me. Like, they recruited me for 2 years. They'd gone out to dinner with me, my family. Like, they know who I am. And they kind of knew something was up a little bit. I was pretty quiet on what I said. I didn't say much to my teammates because, like, we're hanging out. I'm not going to tell them, like, hey, I'm depressed. Like, I'm having a hard time. You know, that's not something that would come up. And so I really kept that in for a long time. And towards the end of the year, like, right before SEC championships in February, I felt like it was more apparent to the coaches, like, hey, this isn't the Jordan we think we know. Because I just wasn't myself. I felt like my eyes were black the whole year. Like, it was tough. My parents would come out and visit me, and they knew something was off. They could tell. And I would tell my parents I was struggling, but, like, they hadn't really dealt with something like this, like, with my siblings or in their lives. And so it's a completely new thing. Like, I don't really know what to do. They don't really know what to do. And so it was really, like, just try to make it through the year. And, like, I'm not kidding when I tell you every day, I was like, there's no way I'm going to make it till tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and I'm like, okay, this is it. No way I make it. I make it another day. And somehow I last the whole season going about that. But yeah, I kept a lot of it inside for sure.
What role did your relationship with Heavenly Father play at that time? I would assume there was probably a lot of nights praying, probably a lot of days praying as well.
Yeah, I would say lots of praying for me, but praying for my family, friends who knew I was going through this. And I'll be 100% honest, it's hard to feel like God's there when every single day I'm like, I don't want to be here. Nothing's going right for me. Like, I hate this. And it was a whole year of that. And it continued after Tennessee, but it was like, where are you, God? I'm trying to rely on you. I'd go to church every week, our little YSA ward with 10 people wearing masks, you know. I'm getting on my hands and knees praying and nothing. I'm feeling nothing the whole year. Now looking back, I can see all the miracles God had there. But I was always just saying, why me, why me, why me, you know?
Yeah. So ultimately, you decide that you're going to step away and you're going to leave Tennessee. Based off of what you said, I'm going to assume that the decision wasn't hard, or was it?
Hardest decision I've ever made. That was my dream. I'm so proud to be at BYU, but my dream was being a big-time SEC school, do something crazy, you know? And so even though I was going through such a hard time, I didn't want to abandon, like, little Jordan's dream, because I'd always just envision myself at 8, 9 years old looking up at me thinking, like, he did it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was tough. So I finished SECs. I just missed making NCAAs. I was slower than I was in high school. My times from high school would have made NCAAs, which was a big bummer. I swam all right. Like, I scored at SECs, only a couple freshmen traveled and I scored out of those freshmen. So I felt like I did enough for the team. You know, that's what I committed to myself. I said, okay, I got to finish this year. I committed to the team and coaches. Like, I'm not giving my all on their, like, they don't think I'm giving my all, but this is my all, you know? I finished the season, SECs is over, and the next week I walk into coach's office. And they knew, like, I texted them and I said, hey, we have a hard meeting we have to have. And I felt like I was letting them down. Like, I was our top recruit coming in. My class was supposed to be the class that kind of changed Tennessee swimming. There was 18 of us. For a swim team, that's over half the team. So that's a huge class. And I walked in there and I just told them, I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm an emotional guy and I'm bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, I'm sorry I let you guys down. I'm sorry I let this program down. This has nothing to do with swimming. I'm done swimming. I can't do this anymore. My coach said something that kind of, it's always stood out to me. Before I told him, like, I'm done swimming, he thought I was just wanting to go to another program. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, if you're not successful here, you won't be successful anywhere. And that's stuck with me. I have that written down. That coach is gone now. But yeah, but then I told them, like, no, this isn't a swimming thing. Like, I'm done with swimming. I'm not going to another program. Like, I'm going to go home and work on myself and work through things, because I don't even plan on going to school right now. Like, I have some serious issues I got to work through. And except this one coach, they handled it great. I saw so much love from them. My teammates showed me so much love, and I still love those guys. I talk to them almost every day. I cheer for Tennessee swimming. You know, I love it out there, but it was kind of a right place, wrong time. And now I can see God's timing, why it makes sense. But in the moment, it was abandoning my childhood dream, which is crushing, you know.
So when you walked out of the coach's office, this was not, I'm going to put my career on hold. This was, I'm done with it. Like,
yeah.
You had no intention of being a swimmer competitively ever again.
Yeah. So, I mean, I entered the transfer portal just because that's kind of protocol when you leave. But within a week, I all the schools I reached out, I just shut them down and said, like, I'm not doing this. I'm done. And so I returned home, and yeah, no intentions of swimming. I thought it had caused me so much damage, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't handle it. I had so much pressure on my swimming, and I was like, I just want to be done with that. I want to figure out where I want to go in life, try something new, work through these mental health issues, and just get on with it.
So you come back. Eventually, you start taking some classes at Utah Valley, right?
Right.
And then eventually, BYU's always right there.
Yeah.
And then eventually, BYU starts to get a little bit closer to you. Take us through those times taking classes at Utah Valley and how BYU came back into view.
Yep. So I came back from Tennessee. That next summer, I did landscaping, something, because I've never worked before. I mean, I taught swim lessons, but swimming, I'm doing that full time on top of school. So I'd never worked before. So I did landscaping that summer. Awesome, because I worked really hard and it took my mind off things. And it was just a totally different kind of crowd of people, just new work. So that was good for me. And then I enrolled at UVU, just took a couple online courses. Super easy. I'm a high achiever. Like, I like to, when I put my mind to something, I go all in. And so I felt like I was like underperforming, but again, I'm struggling with this mental health stuff that I hadn't quite like tapped into of how to fix it, or at least how to deal with it. And so I'm taking UVU classes for that year, and it's October. Mm-hmm. That's when applications are due. So I'd been at UVU for a couple months, and it's the day the applications are due. No, didn't even think about BYU because I wasn't swimming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to get into BYU because I had heard that a lot of those transfer spots are saved for RMs. I didn't go on a mission. And so I kind of just told myself, like, there's no point of applying. It's a long application process. I don't want to go through all these essays to get rejected. And I don't really care to go to BYU. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with my life. Which is funny because, like, that's the complete opposite of who I am. Like, I have a path. I have a direction. I'm hard on myself. Like, I expect the most out of me. And at this point in my life, it was the complete opposite. And so it's the day applications are due. Get on my laptop, call my state president, call my bishop, start getting the ecclesiastical endorsements done. I'm just grinding these essays out. They must have been terrible essays. Like, clearly not. But a couple hours, I don't know how that happened. Get my transcript sent over from Tennessee, all within that day. And I apply, but BYU never came to my mind because I'm like, I'm not going to get accepted. But I just wanted to have that as like kind of a maybe in some crazy world that's going to happen. So I'm still going to UVU. I'm not swimming. Struggling really bad at this time, getting into things I don't want to get into. Most depressed I'd ever been. Like, some pretty dark times. Then March comes around, applications come out. And I think it had been a couple days since they'd been out because I didn't even think of checking it because I kind of forgot, like, I'm not going to get in. And I open it by myself and I'm like, no way I got into BYU. I didn't tell my parents or anything, like, because I was like, I don't know what I want with my life. I was pretty embarrassed of myself at that time. I wasn't doing anything good with my life. And I got in And so I would say a little bit started to spark, like, maybe I'll do this BYU thing. Like, it's a better school. You know, maybe it'll be a change of things. Maybe that will finally get me on track or something like that.
So when we talk about going to BYU, we're talking about you going to BYU for school.
Yep.
This was not going to BYU to eventually get back into swimming. But that's the way things started to go.
Mm-hmm.
Tell everybody about the timely run-in that you had with a certain coach here.
Yep. So, yes, that's how it was. Summer, I started to decide, okay, I'm going to go to BYU. I start classes August, September, October. Still no intentions of swimming. I know some of the swimmers. I'm friends with them. I'm not coming back. I don't think of it. You know, they say, come on, like, it'd be nice. We need you, whatever. But I'm not going to do that. And I think it's the last day of October, first day of November. I'm sitting outside the student athlete building. And I just have this feeling, like, just text Sherry. That's the head coach. Sherry, I love her. I've known her since I was a little kid. She coached my parents.
How crazy is that, by the way?
Crazy. We have a great relationship. Always had a good relationship. It'll be like that the rest of my life. And I have this feeling, it wasn't even a swimming text. It was just texting, let's see how Sherry's doing. Catch up a little bit. You know, I hadn't heard what's going on with the team. And I didn't want anything to do with swimming at this time, so it was kind of weird to even think about doing that. And as I'm texting her, I'm looking at my phone, and I just hear someone say, Jordan. I look up, and it's Sherry right there. First thing she tells me is how much she loves me, which is, that says who Sherry is. That's the kind of head coach I want. And she says, how are you? Let's catch up sometime, whatever. So we go into her office. We're just talking. And I guess the spirit just kind of led this conversation this way. And it's like, there's no pressure, but let's do this thing. Let's just try it one more time. I know you've tried a lot of different things and it hasn't worked out, but let's just try it.
How big of a leap of faith was that for you, knowing what you had just gone through, and now you're going to put yourself back in it?
Oh, crazy, because one, I didn't want to embarrass myself, because I felt like I was already the biggest embarrassment, being this big-time swimmer, you know, big shot out of Utah to go to Tennessee and then just fell. That's how I looked at it, at least. I know other people probably didn't as much, but I'm like, I'm a failure. That year at UVU, I got into things I didn't want. I wasn't myself, and guys on the team kind of knew. And so I was like, how are they going to take me? How are they going to receive me? Like, is Jordan just kind of the screw up now, you know? And then just to go all into something that could just blow up in my face the next week, it's scary. But again, that's why I'm just going back on. The spirit just led me in ways I can't explain. I can't put words to it. And the next day I jumped in the water and got my gear, got my fuel card, got signed up, talked to compliance. And then the next day I was on the team. I was redshirting. And the fact that I didn't have any feelings of regret or I wasn't worried, I felt welcomed, calm, ready to go, confident from the first day I jumped into the pool. Which makes no sense. Like, it shouldn't have happened that way, right? I should have had at least a couple moments where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Was this the right move? Things came so naturally. Like, within a couple weeks, I was swimming better than I had ever swam. Like, loving it, smiling, happy, making new best friends. Just crazy.
Did you think that was even possible for you based off of what you were coming out of?
No. One, yeah. I never thought I'd be able to swim fast again. I peaked at 16 years old. I kind of did the middle distance events. And one, that's scary. I'm like, I'm putting myself out there. Like, I gotta do something. I gotta show to people that, you know, there is something inside of me and I'm special. I can do amazing things in the pool. And yeah, it was scary.
So you get in, you're now part of the team. Mm-hmm. Things are going well. How are things going today?
Amazing. Looking back, I see 2 to 3 years of the hardest times of my life, but I see God's plan so clearly. It gives me so much confidence and faith in my future. You know, I still struggle. There's lots of days I struggle, but, you know, I've had amazing people around me to support me. I've opened up to the right people. You know, I've been taken care of medically, and I'm in a way better place than I've been in the last couple of years, just mentally. And as far as swimming's going, within a couple months of being back, I posted top 15 times in the nation, like I would have been in those final heats at NCAAs. My 100 backstroke would have broken the Tennessee school record. And it's kind of funny because I was swimming at this meet at the same time NCAAs was going on. And so Sherry, our head coach, was at NCAAs, and the Tennessee head coach was there, and they know each other. All the head coaches get to know each other. And Sherry just shows him my results. And she said he was like, no way. Like, that's kind of their weak link on their team. Mm-hmm. They don't have a backstroker right now. And so that was just like a little blessing, a little miracle, whatever you want to call it. Like, I totally switched events. I'd never been a sprinter at all. And now I'm a sprinter. That's what I'm doing. I'm excelling. This is the fastest I've been in my life. And the best part about it is, outside of all the amazing things going on in swimming, I'm happy. And it's been a long time since I can say that.
What advice would you give? And everybody is going to go through their own issues, and they're all going to be very personal to them and personalized to their circumstances. But for someone that has gone through what you've gone through, there may be others that are listening to this that are going through similar things. What advice do you give people who may be dealing with some of the same mental health issues that you went through?
Yeah, I mean, two things. The first that comes to mind is my support system. I have coaches who love me, teammates who love me, parents who love me, and I'm comfortable to open up to them. And I didn't have that for a while. That's been crucial. And the second part, and I'm glad we're at a church school where you can talk about things like this, is, as cliche as it is, like, trusting in God. That's the biggest thing I can say. Looking back, like, I didn't know how I'd make it to the next day. Like, I didn't want to be here for two solid years. I don't know how I kept making it through, but I held on as much as I could. And sometimes it was like one finger, like barely hanging on. And God had a path. And I'm glad I have that testimony builder, because times are still tough for me sometimes. But I know God's preparing a way for me. And if I hang on, he's going to help me out. He's going to do something special for me.
Do you have any goals moving forward?
Yeah. Another blessing in disguise was, with my eligibility, I still have a lot of years left. So one goal is to get into the MBA program here, do my MBA. I'm super excited about that. I'm working hard to make that a possibility. Swim-wise, I have some big goals. I like to keep those a little more private between me and my coaches. But, you know, I'm excited to shake it up a little bit. There are some big goals. I have NCAAs, and I'm just excited to see what can happen. Team-wise, I believe this is the best swim team we've had in BYU history. Our first year in the Big 12, we have some awesome freshmen coming in, some returners. Everything's coming together to have this be an extremely special year. So we're excited to do some damage in the Big 12. I'm happy to be a part of it. You know, I was named team captain with Emerson Edwards. We've put in a lot of work for this season, and we believe in those guys and know we're capable of something special.
You use the term dark times, dark days, mm-hmm. that you were going through. What does the bright future of Jordan Tiffany look like right now?
Yeah, during those dark times, I was not thinking a day in front of me. Didn't think about what a future family I could have. Didn't think about a future career. You know, I'm excited to have a family one day. I'm excited to be a good husband, good father. I would love to be a coach. I love swimming. I'd love to be involved somehow. I'd love to be a head coach at a program one day. You know, I'm excited to hopefully share my experience a little bit on not giving up and having hope for the future, because I didn't have that for so long. And so I hope I can help some people in church settings, whatever it may be. That's worth it. Hang on. Trust in God.
Well, Jordan, I first and foremost, I want to thank you for doing this and being as vulnerable as you have been and talking about some difficult stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for that. And I am so happy for you that you have that smile and that you have that bright future to look forward to. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. This has been awesome.
All right. Thank you once again to my guest, Jordan Tiffany. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode of Deep Blue. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.